We have to understand that everything that comes our way is to strengthen us. It's not there to take you out. It's to take you in. Going through, though, ain't nobody can tell you that. Because it's so hard. It's so hard. Let's get the light, sir, if you would, please. How many of you got damage on your vehicles because of the hail? You got the dents? Any broken windshields? Cracked windshields? No? Broken windows at home? You got one at home? The skylights. A lot of skylights were damaged. A whole bunch. Thank you, sir. Did you see on Facebook some people were posting how the HEVs that have those skylights, they were all busted coming through? I was like, oh, my God. Very interesting. But then, you know, I'm scrambling to look for my cat because my cat was outside. Yeah, there was a lot of intercession going on. Understand, but me and my kitty understand everything. So all the hail is over and done with, and you know how we had that little break in between the next round? She looked so pitiful. She was just drained. You know when they're fluffy, like, oh, you're fat, and then when they're all wet, like, man, you're skinny. You need to eat. When I looked at her, I said, oh, my God, I am so sorry. I heard all the warning signs that came on TV. But I didn't think about the cat was outside. So, you know me. I got to that point, I said, God, what are you saying? I'm seeing a lot of debris. How many of you walked outside and saw all the leaves? Wasn't it kind of strange? Did you think it was just, oh, that's the way it always is? This is the first time I've ever seen that many leaves and branches. Not dead leaves only, but dead and new leaves that had just grown. And then branches that weren't just old branches, new branches as well. So I began to get a little bit prophetic on it. So I'm going to share with you about the warning signs and the effect of the season that we must pay attention to. Are we recording back there? I need to see your heads. I don't want you ducking down back there. I want to see your heads. All right, sir. Thank you. I want you to turn with me to Psalms 1, please. Psalms 1, verse 1 through 3 is what we'll read. I went outside right after the storm in. I noticed all these leaves all over my patio. I went out to the front quickly and ran out to go check on the car, make sure there was no broken windshield. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I didn't think about the dents on the body of the car. I didn't notice that until today. I said, okay, there's a little bit of damage here on the body of the car. So I get the blower out and I start cleaning up the back patio, the front. Then I'm starting to see all these people coming out with tarps. I was like, wait a minute. What's going on? So I went to one of my neighbors. He says, yeah, my windshield got busted out. My front one and my back one. I said, you're only two houses away from me. So then the person kind of catty-cornered the front of me. He's up on the roof putting a tarp. I said, what happened? He says, I guess the hail was too big and water started coming in. They got hail damage, and it was already coming through. So it must have been a pretty big one. I said, but I'm catty-cornered to you. So then this afternoon, I'm looking in my backyard and letting a dog that I'm babysitting for a little bit about coming to an end, just saying. And I see this man walking on the roof across the neighbor's house. And then I can kind of see across that side, I can see another guy up on the street. The claims adjusters are already up on the roof taking the, you know, what I used to do. I used to go out there and do takeoffs for roofs, to change roofs. I said, man, this is it. There was so much damage. God, I thank you. I didn't get no damage. I think you got no damage. And then I started looking on Facebook and all kinds of stuff. I said, Lord, speak to me. He says, I'm glad you asked me to. So in Psalms 1, 1 through 3, you may read as you sit down. We honor it in the word that we put to use, not just by standing or sitting. But Psalms 1, 1 through 3 reads this wise. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Lord, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I thank you that it is just the food that we need right now, Lord. That you speak to us to let us know what is going on in this season. To let us pay attention to the signs of the time. Let us have an understanding and know what to do. So, Lord, we thank you for it now. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. Look to your neighbor and said, the effects of the season. The effects of the season. How many of you have been in a season that has left an everlasting effect? You've been in a season, you're like, Lord, this happened 5, 6, 10, 15, 20 years, and it's still affecting me now. Been there, right? We've been down those kind of storms. You get to that point, Lord, I already came out of that storm. It's been a while. I've already put oil on me. It got to the point I put lard on me to make sure I really got covered. But I still got some effects from this past storm. And it could have been a long time ago. But see, storms leave an everlasting effect sometimes if we don't know how to process what God is doing. See, he didn't say that the storms wouldn't come. He didn't say the trouble wouldn't come. He says when trouble comes. And when the storms of life do come, they will come. How do we process while we're in it? We understand the story where Jesus is in the boat with the disciples, that he commanded them to get in the boat to go to the other side during that very storm. It's not like the storm just showed up. There was a storm, and the storm was coming. And this wasn't just a little lake. This was a huge lake. This wasn't like a little lake that you could walk around. This was a huge lake. It was like the sea. So you knew if the wind was about to come, it was going to be very, very strong wind. So the waves were going to be very big. So we understand that sometimes you get put in a place that God has sent you to, but we don't understand the season that we're going to be in. And then while we're in the season, we don't have the understanding of what God is trying to get to us, do we? We're just trying to get out of it. Try every scripture, read it 10 times. Read it backwards 3 times. Stand on your feet with your left leg up or right leg up 4 times. Because you try every kind of thing you can to get out of that season. How many times in a season that is so bad, you fast? It gets so bad, I said, I'm going to go on a fast. That does not move the hand of God. It only moves your flesh out the way. That does not make you more anointed. It makes you more spiritual. Are you hearing me? We try everything that we knew what we thought we should do. But in reality, we don't know how to process through the storm. Get out of the storm. And then you look back. If I'd have known that, God, I'd have done that a long time ago. Because you come out once you get revelation. Once you get revelation of the storm, you have a better understanding why you're there. How many times have we put ourselves in our own storms? Because of our actions? How many of you have made a decision based out of your emotions and put that on God? God said, well, what God are you talking about? Big G, little G? Because if it's little G, it's you. If it's big G, it's God. See, we have made some decisions in our life that we got to pay the consequences for. Now, what happens when this had nothing to do with you? And a storm comes. Are you just going to be still? Be quiet? And, you know, do the om, om, oh, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me on my journey. Because you don't know what to pray. Because you didn't do it. It wasn't your actions. It wasn't what something that you saw coming. It's something that just showed up, right? But there's always a warning sign. Remember, I started this series 2 weeks ago. There's always a warning sign to tell us something's coming, but will we pay attention? Because when we don't pay attention, we head into the storm, and then we get angry. What did we get angry at? That we didn't stop it when we could have. Right? Do you think you can stop the storm like last night? Some of y'all are like, the answer I'm saying is no, but you're looking at me like yes. See, when it began to hail, in the name of Jesus, you're not damaging my property, is what I said. It's exactly what I said. And then I started looking for my cat. There was purpose behind my prayer. In the name of Jesus, you're not going to harm my property. Here, get it, get it, get it, get it, get it. And it was just lightning everywhere. I was like, oh, Lord, Lord. I had Hannah running in the back. I'm running in the front. And I had the dogs, one in the cage. Two that were in the pantry, crying. I said, Lord, what's going on here? Help me find my cat. And then all of a sudden, it just came to an end. It was fast. It came fast, remember? And then it was gone. And then there was that little, just little drizzle. My cat came in so skinny. I felt so bad. She was so wet. I blew dry her. She hated it. But like those commercials, like those cartoons with the cats when you wet them. And then all of a sudden, you blow dry them. Yeah. That's how Smokey looked. She never been that big in her life. So I was like, God, I know that there was a storm. And I saw it. Hannah and I were watching TV, and we saw the flashing. Flashlight. Oh, and then Albert Flores comes on, and he's talking about, oh, there's going to be some storm. There's going to be some hail. And I didn't think nothing of it. I had the dogs inside. And I'm talking to one of the dog owners. Michael, did you make it home before the rain? Yeah. I said, oh, the dogs are going crazy in here with all this hail. The hail is big. Oh, my God, Michael, can you hear? He goes, yeah, I hear it. Where's the cat? I got to go. Where's the cat? I didn't think nothing of it. I said, Lord, I am so sorry. I repented for my cat. How many times have we heard the alarm go off, but we don't really pay attention? Plenty of times. And the Lord is speaking something very clearly. If we don't pay attention to the signs of the time, we will miss what he's about to do. Amen. So one of the things that came with this storm was strong wind, right? And another thing was the hail. The byproduct of this storm was the rain. I didn't think it was a lot. But did you see the cars that got stuck on that same place all the time on I-10? There was like three or four cars stuck in there. So again, what did the wind do? Here's the effects of the wind. The leaves, old and new, covered the ground. Branches, old and new, were broken off and down power lines. I want to stay a little bit right here. The leaves represent something in the scripture. You know that, right? So anytime you see a word that may you think that God is trying to show you something, the law of first mention says you go back to the very first time it's mentioned in the Bible. That's the law of first mention. Then you have a better understanding of what the representation is of that word. So let's go to the law of first mention. Go to Genesis 3:7. Genesis 3:7. And when you're there, say amen. In Genesis 3:7, first book in the Bible, Chapter 3, verse 7 says, at that moment their eyes were open, and they suddenly felt shame in their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Okay, so what was the leaves used for? To cover what? Their nakedness. When did they discover that they were naked? After their eyes were open to see that they have done something against God. Right? Was that when their eyes really got open? Or, I mean, is that when they really sinned, or was it when they went ahead and contemplated, should they? When they even began to go against what God had already directed. Here's what I want to share with you. God will always speak something to you. The Bible says that he will give you a way of escape in the time of sin. Conviction. So the moment you start questioning God, you're getting ready to go right into that danger zone. And if you don't pay attention, you're going to be left naked without a covering. Hear this. He gives us a way of escape, but we don't heed to it because we've gotten so comfortable with grace. We've gotten so comfortable with ain't nobody getting struck down because of their sin. I'm going to say this in a hypothetical God, just jokingly. Making sure he heard because, you know. What if God was to go ahead and say, for this day and this day only, every person that sins, I'm going to strike them down with lightning. Everybody be dead, even though they're trying so hard to live right. But just humor me for a minute. What if you're walking down the street, you're going, just going to check your mail. You're walking with your spouse. And lightning strikes your spouse. Ooh. What he or she do? Thank God I didn't do it. I didn't sin. Okay, what about this one? You go into a grocery store, and all of a sudden, lightning on the inside is just striking people down left and right. And some people are standing like, oh my God, what happened? We probably think rapture came. Clothes there, and we some people gone and others left behind. Right? Well, I mean, think about it. What if we were to really see judgment of God come down in a way that he did it in the Old Testament? Would the church be in a better position? You can't answer it, can you? You're thinking, well, wait a minute, that's a trick question, Pastor. But the problem is, we don't see people afraid to sin against God anymore. We're more apt to say, if ain't nobody watching, then how are they going to know? The people ain't the judges. It's only God. Who cares what everybody else thinks? Who cares of what label they put on you? It's whether his blood is on you. Do you understand? And what I've been hearing in my spirit for quite some time, I told this to a group of people on Sunday. I said, I came back from Kenya, and I should have been riding a wave of his glory with such anticipation of what God is going to do. And I came back dealing with Jezebel in every service. I said, Lord, why am I fighting this spirit again and again and again? I said, I'm about tired of this. I should have been coming in here doing impartation to y'all. Are you seeing that? So I said, Lord, what has happened? What happened? I should have came back here with that oil. You ready to receive? And people were in here like, well, here we go again. We're going to talk about Africa. And they start taking money up again. You know, they got this picture over here, church. They want a building and stuff. Can't even fill the seats. You know, shoot. They want to get a building. They can't get a praise team. Can't even get children's church. Can't, you know, and I'm hearing all this in my head. I said, ooh, this is ugly. This is an ugly spirit that has entered. So I started shutting down myself. I said, Lord, this don't make no sense. And I don't know if I told you, but I was at a whole different level of the prophetic anointing over there, right? Okay. I want you to hear this. So when I get here, I'm thinking, that was for there. So here, I'm going to go back to what I was doing. I entered the same way here that I was over there, and what I'm hearing is in a different realm of what is coming. Are you hearing me? I had to shift my focus off of here and put it back to where he allowed me to be, to see it at a different level. So when he gave me this about the warning signs, I'm here, I am, I'm carnal, I'm flesh. Help me, I'll bleed. So I'm thinking, okay, it's in my church. That's it. I got to deal with it. Y'all don't only pay attention to warning signs. I mean, think about it. You hear a word like, oh, that's in our house. We got to deal with this. Shoo. Let me have some earrings. Pull those off. Pull off my fake nails to just shoo. It's going down. But the reality was God was saying, no, I kept you in that level so that when you arrived here, you could release what is about to come in the body of Christ so that we can sound the alarm and we can release what is coming by the word of the Lord in our testimony of what God is going to do. And I couldn't distinguish that because I didn't see it with my spiritual eyes. I said, Lord, I don't want to miss this. I don't want to miss this. I want to make sure that what I'm saying is what you're telling me to say, what to speak about. Someone came up to me before service tonight and said, thank you for sharing what you shared. It was a blessing. Amen. Thank you. It wasn't on my notes, but amen. I just said what God told me to say. Bless someone. So it's like, well, that's what I love about it is because you speak what God is saying and you're sensitive to it. I said, well, amen, God. Can I move my emotions out of the way with this? Because I'm getting emotional thinking it's here when it's up here. You understand? I'm in error. Me. Yeah, I'd like to hear other pastors say that they are. And I'm telling you. I was in error thinking that it's in the house. It's in the atmosphere. What is coming? That's the warning sign. I couldn't distinguish the two. Because my eyes went to here as opposed to here. So here are the signs. The wind. The wind is always indicative of a change of direction and season. The breath of God. Remember I spoke about the breath of God? What is the breath of God? It represents the will of God. The purpose of God. So here it comes. What did the wind do? It blew the leaves off. What leaves fell? Fresh new leaves and old leaves. What do the new leaves represent? New leaves represent growth. Right? New growth. There is coming a wind that is coming that is not of God that is trying to attack new growth. Oh, I hope you. You might want to help me with this. Is it all right, sir? Can you help me with this? Here's what I had been seeing in the atmosphere, and I couldn't quite distinguish it, but I kept seeing there was a group of young people getting saved, coming into the church, getting all fired up, but getting taken out so quickly. And I couldn't understand it until I saw the leaves this morning. The green leaves. How many of you saw the green leaves? Everywhere. I said, that's new growth. So what is taking place in the body of Christ? Every time there's an increase where the body of Christ begins to increase in the Lord, something comes to take them out. What takes out growth? What takes out growth? You know? Okay, lack of nutrients would be one if we're growing. What else? Someone said something here. Sin will take one person out, yes, but the wind did this. So this is external, okay? Criticism is one, yes. What else? What stops the growth? Self-doubt is another, yes. What? Say it again.
One more time. Not knowing your identity.
Do you understand? You're not truly rooted. You don't truly root yourself to know who you are, and we're so confused that any wind of doctrine that comes, we just follow it. And we get taken away. So the new folks that are coming in, and watch this, new folks that come in that are barely getting to know the knowledge of Christ and His fruitfulness of His blessings, they also come mixed with all kinds of stuff from what they were out there searching before they found God. Now, this will resonate in your spirit, Papa, when we talk to these people over there in Kenya. One of the words was, do not mix in old religious relic and bring it in to this life in your new birth. because you're bringing what you learned in the tribe and putting it into this. And what Papa Louis told me to tell them is tell them they're no longer of the tribes that they're from. We're all part of one tribe, the tribe of Judah. When you get your identity, you become rooted in the things of God. And nobody can take you out. Nobody can sway you away. And nobody can uproot you but you. So we have to have that identity to know that God purchased us where He planted us. Did you hear that? He purposed us where He planted us. How many of you are really planted? It's a question in the atmosphere. Don't get offended. If you're rooted, you're not in a pot. You're in the soil. Okay, let me go. I wish I had a real plant here somewhere. These are fake, but I'll use it as an analogy. These are only going to grow to a certain containment. But if you were to plant these in the ground, not really those, but similar, real ones, the roots would go further and deeper than the shoots. What are the shoots? It'll be the trunk and then the branches will grow higher and longer. You produce more when you're rooted and planted in the soil. In the land that God has given you. I'm getting a little excited now. I feel why I was seeing what I was seeing. And see, when I begin to understand some things, I can realize it ain't my church. It's what's coming. But I'm going to tell my church so that my church can see it when it tries to show up. So I'm going to equip those that are ready to be equipped. I'm going to feed those that are ready to eat. I'm going to give something to drink for those that are thirsty. For the ones that are not hungry and not thirsty, you got no business showing up anyhow. We want people in the seats to be equipped that are hungry. And the hunger is not just for a little boy. It's different from a hunger from an older man. It's the same hunger. If you want to eat, you're going to eat. You may not eat the same. You may not eat the same food, but you're going to eat. That's what the Lord said. Feed my people. Feed my people and they will grow. Feed my people and they'll be rooted. Feed my people and they will sprout forth their fruit in their season. Teach them to root themselves in the soil, in the land that I have given them. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I feel my health in here. Hallelujah. The wind is coming to blow off the old, to make room for the new. But if the new come in and they don't get rooted, they're going to go too. Oh, hear me. We serve a jealous God. And if you come in here mixed with the New Age religion, you come here mixed in with the background that you don't want to let go of, and you want to bring in your own food and that kind of worship, all this white magic. Magic is magic. It's evil, period. And then come in and worship the Lord. The Bible says, do not erect a tree of Asherah next to my temple. There is, what is that that's going up in New York? Baal. The temple of Baal is getting ready to be erected where? In New York? The Big Apple. What came down in New York? Two towers that were erected to signify the strength of this country. And now there's going to be a temple of a false deity, a false god, in which is already governing this country in the Big Apple, which is known to be the melting pot of this country. There's a wind that is coming. I believe that we saw as a prophetic sign last night that I'm going to rid those that have entered in to only take up nutrients that didn't really want to be rooted. I'll hear this, hear this. I may get all kinds of emails and whatever on Facebook. I love you anyhow. The Bible tells me to love you even if you're my enemy. The Bible tells me to bless my enemies and not curse them. So I'm going to bless you even when you want to curse me. I'm going to tell you this. That those that enter into the churches of God and they want to be the ones that are criticizing the church, criticizing the messages, criticizing the leadership, criticizing what is going on. You're not there to be planted. You're only there to take away the nutrients that God has given to somebody else. And the wind is coming to get you out. If I be who I said that God has called me to be, then I'm going to say exactly what God said. We can sit amongst people all day long. The Bible says you don't have to worry about it. Just judge their fruit by their actions, not what they say. Because their actions speak louder than their words. So I saw a lot of green leaves and dead leaves right there on the ground. I said, Lord, I know you're speaking. There's a season where there's going to be a cleansing in the temple of God. That means the body of Christ is about to experience a cleansing. Every revival that ever broke out anywhere in history, read what was leading up to it. Calamity, all kinds of sin running rampant in the area. Taverns were all over the place. Bars everywhere. Listen to this. Every time there is something that hits with either tragedy or loss, liquor sales go up. Alcohol sales go up, right? Goes up, skyrockets. I ain't bashing it. But what I'm telling you is, all these things started rising to the surface. And then God chose a remnant of people to be on their face. Because as this was rising, so was his praise going up. That caused a revival like never before. One, the 100-year of Azusa just took place. So many prophetic statements were released. I didn't hear them. Don't want to hear them. I want to witness and walk it out. Amen? But I do know that the prophetic was one of the things that was highlighted the most. Is that correct? Some of y'all read that? In every single class that we have done with the prophetic class, we're doing one in May, I've always said the purpose of the class is to bring honor and respect back to that office. And not for it to be flaky or prostituted, but to be the honored gift of the Holy Spirit so that it be utilized correctly in the church. The prophetic was so strong, is from what I'm hearing, that people were getting called out by name and by association and who they were with, address and where they live, anniversary dates of how many years they were married, upon thousands, and they would find the individual right there. What is that saying? God is saying that the prophetic move that is coming into this land will be a fresh wind. They will open up the unbeliever and the lukewarm believers to become on fire for the Lord. You understand? God wants to get them all. But if they sit there and just want to ridicule his children, come against his children, cause division and strife, and cause all kinds of contention, he'll move them out. Because he's after those that he can protect. Do you understand? And I see this by the Spirit, that God is going to remove that what is not planted and not rooted. There will be an increase later, but the increase will come with such fire. It had nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with the hand of God. Amen. Then I saw, the down power lines. There was a lot of down power lines. How many of y'all's power went out, or at least it flickered? Didn't flicker? Ours went out. We have all those digital clocks. You got to go and reset. Oh, my God. Okay. Power lines go down. The source of power has been challenged. The source of power has been challenged. And this is the power. is the word of the Lord. Do you understand? So when I inquired of God, what is the power lines representing? He says, my word. It's my power source. He says, but what I'm about to do is restore power by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's going to be new baptism of diverse tongues. There'll be new baptism of the renewal of the Spirit. And there'll be a baptism that's going to come to a new believer that they were once only had an understanding of maybe the Gospels, but now they're going to have an understanding of the kingdom. You understand? There's going to be new power released. The broken branches. The branches represent the source that connects to the people. What are those branches? It's the branches, the churches. There's churches that have been broken. There's churches that are going under to the point of closing, shutting down. Some of them have given up and there's no life in them. And when the wind and the storm comes, it blew it away. And they gave up. But then I saw new branches, new growth. Some of them very big. Some very strong. How many of you have seen those new branches that have grown and, you know, they're real thick. And they break. And the Lord showed me, he says, that's the churches that were growing and growing rapidly. And they were growing, doing the right things of God. But then Jezebel came in and cut off the source of life, which is the prophetic word, the Bible. And he started teaching on what they believe, not what God is saying. Do you understand? When people interject their own feeling, this is what I believe the Lord is saying. Either the Lord said it or he didn't. Does his word confirm it or it doesn't? And that's where I believe that. That's why I saw these branches. Some of them were little branches, some were twigs, and some were new and some were big. Some of the ones that are growing very rapidly, very fast, and they're only out there for the money, they're about to come down. God is going to bring holiness back. He's going to bring holiness back to the church, put the church back into position so that we can do what he has called us to do, is to be the light in the darkness. And the people that are not hungry and not really wanting the word of God, you'll know it by their fruit. By their fruit. They sitting in the church and they're just sitting there to take up a seat, you'll know it by the fruit. Come in hungry. Come in expecting. Come in pulling on the word of God. If you don't know how to pull, God, give me what you have for me today. When I get to church, God, I know I'm going to hear from you. When I get to church, God, I'm going to praise and I'm going to worship you, whether they're playing a song or not. I'm here to see you. I'm not here to be entertained. I'm not here to be in front of everybody else to say, look, I'm in church today. I'm here because you are there and I want to be in your presence. I want to receive what you have for me. I want to get the nutrients that you have for me. I want to grow. I want to be planted. I want to be rooted and I want to produce so that everything that I touch shall prosper. That's how you pull on God. Don't get caught up with things that sound like it's God, but it's not God. Your discerning spirit tells you, don't go down that road. There's a warning sign that's telling you, stop, don't go. Because you need to be planted. Planted in the things of God. So those are the effects of the wind. And now, the other element was hail. There was broken car windshields, broken windows in the homes, and broken skylights in the stores and in homes. And it damaged the car bodies. One thing I want to talk to you about first is the broken windshields. If you're in your vehicle and you're driving in the vehicle, and if you don't have the windshield in front of you, you are vulnerable to anything to come at you that's not on the ground but is in the airwaves. Hear this. Do we wrestle against flesh and blood? No, that's ground level. We don't wrestle against that. What do we wrestle against? Spirits. Not principalities, spirits. You're quoting Bible, yes. Spirits. Little s. Demon spirits. Those are in the air. So when you're driving, and if you have no windshield, you're subject to the elements coming at you, and you're subject to things entering you. What is the thing that you're driving and looking through is through the eye gates that goes directly to your soul. And it'll affect the very thing that God is trying to get you to. So the enemy's going to try to affect the eye gates by removing the windshields. What are the windshields? It is the word of God that protects your eye gates, protects your soul, and what you're watching, what you're doing, and what you're looking at. That's what the word will do. But if you give in to your fleshly desires, you'll fall prey to exactly what the enemy wants. The next thing is broken windows in the home. What does the window in the home do? It protects against the elements that are on the outside, against the bugs that are coming in, right? But if it breaks the window in the home, is your home solid? Is your home now a place of safety? Something's open. There's a breach. So in your home, I believe that the enemy's trying to come in through the windows, not through the doors. It's coming into the windows that we have opened up, not the doors. Doors are the ones where you open up principalities. Windows are the ones that we open up little imps, little devils. Hear this. When we open up a door, we've opened up a strong man, a principality. But when we open up a window, we're dealing with the little demons that we don't think nothing of. Well, we can take them out, but you don't take them out. You become vulnerable. They become part of you. They become one with you. They grow with you for the opportune time to expose himself in you. So I saw that in the spirit and I said, God, we don't want to be vulnerable in our homes. We've got to close those gaps. The broken skylights. Where are the skylights? Headship. It's over your head to shine down. What is shining down? The light that is shining down on you that represents his glory. The enemy wants to come in and remove the glory that radiates on you. How does that take place? By him coming in and giving you a direct blow on your head. What is that head? Something that represents Christ, that you felt that you had faith to overcome, but you haven't seen the results of it. Did you understand that? Faith, your headship is your faith. You take a direct blow on something that you had faith to overcome, but you haven't seen it overcome. So it makes you doubt, makes you have unbelief, and makes you waver in your faith. The skylight there is to protect you. It gives you light to shine on you, the glory of God. But the enemy wants to come in and destroy that communication and destroy that connection. The damaged cars with the hail wants to bruise your body, especially the car represents a ministry. Your car represents ministry. Wants to damage you, to have you be seen like a damaged piece of property. That everywhere you go, you bring that hurt with you. You bring that pain and you bring the evidence of what you've been through. The enemy's trying to damage your ministry that is within you. And we've got to be careful. We've got to pay attention. Because the whole trick of the enemy is to get you out of the will of God. So the hail damage on the vehicle represented that. I said, Lord, I don't want to go through that. I'm tired of being hit on every side. Now, the byproduct of all of this storm was the rain. The floodwaters that were rising. I told you before that the waters represented judgment in the scriptures. And that water was rising and rising quickly. And it came at a very short, rapid pace, but yet the waters rose quickly. I believe that the Spirit of God is saying that there's going to come judgment that is going to rise very quickly, but it's also going to subside quickly. Listen to me. Judgment is coming and will end quickly. What that judgment is going to do is to bring about holiness back to the people, to bring conviction to get them back on track. You understand? I truly believe that that's what's going to be taking place. God is exposing the darkness by revealing his marvelous light. In Genesis 3:7, we know that their eyes were opened and they sewed the fig leaves together to cover themselves, their nakednesses, whatever they did that made them go down the wrong path, the sin that was created, whatever the case may be, we put things to cover ourselves. God is going to remove the covering and expose everything. Ezekiel 47:12. Ezekiel 47:12. I want you to go there, please. Ezekiel 47:12 reads this way in the NIV. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. Isn't that beautiful? their leaves for healing. It says here that every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. That means you got to stay in church. Get in His presence. Not just when you come to church, but even at home. Get in His presence. Be in church and be in His presence. Number two, bearing fruit while planted, they will not wither nor fail. Hence, we've got to be planted and rooted. We have got to be the one that is not movable just because we have got our toes stepped on it. I'm leaving the church because you stepped on my toes. I'm leaving the church because you didn't have me to sing, you didn't have me to preach, you didn't have me to dance, you didn't have me, whatever. Then you're not planted. You're potted. So I can pick up the pot and move it anywhere I want. But if you're planted, it's going to take a while for you to get to the roots and get it out, because you can go ahead and pull it all up. But if you destroy the roots, you destroy the plant. Number three, the fruit is for food, spiritual food. Their leaves are for healing. If you stay connected in the church, you stay connected to God in His presence, that means that everything that you're receiving from God, the food that you're eating, will be for someone else to eat. Hear this. It's not for you. It is for you to take it and give to somebody else and to speak to them, to teach them how to read a Bible. Maybe it's not to give them a word. Maybe it's to give them the word and teach them how to read a Bible. How many of you have been taught how to read a Bible? Someone took the time to say, hey, let's read this together. Let me show you what this means. Oh, these notes that are right here in the study Bible, this is what it means. Let's go here. Look how it'll take you to this scripture that will be parallel to what you just read. So it'll confirm that you're reading something that the Lord has placed in there. Oh, the notes that are at the bottom, those notes in the study Bible, it's going to give you insight to what you just read in those verses. See those little A and B letters that are right next to it? That means there's another reference point that if you go to, that particular word was not in its original context. They added it to it for a reason, because there was no translation there. You understand that there's a lot of things when people read the Bible, they're like, I don't understand it. But ain't nobody taking the time to show them. Especially sitting amongst the brothers and sisters. I see on Sundays, I see on Wednesdays, people that still don't have a Bible. They haven't invested it, but they will invest in going to different places. But they want to invest in the Bible. Love it, love it, love it. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Good for me. I'll take it. I'll take it. Shoot. I wish someone really would have taught me how to read the Bible. It wouldn't have taken me that long. Stay in church. Get connected. Read your word. Understand how to read the word. And understand what you're reading. Amen. The season of change has to come. But are you bearing fruit when it comes? Turn with me to Mark 11, please. Mark 11, verse 12 through 14. When you're there, say amen. Mark 11, verses 12 through 14. Mark is one of the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Mark 11, chapter 12, Mark 11, verse 12 through 14. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. It reads in verse 12. The next morning as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, may no one ever eat your fruit again. And the disciples heard him say it. I want to share with you what this scripture is saying right here so you have an understanding of what it means. The fig tree does not put out leaves unless it's getting ready to produce fruit. If it's full of leaves, watch this. It's going back to what I was talking about earlier. It should have fruit. If it doesn't have fruit, all it did was bear itself to be seen from a distance. Don't miss this. The Bible says Jesus was hungry. And from a distance, he saw a fig tree. Okay, wait a minute. Don't get this twisted. He knew the tree by what the fruit should have been. But what he noticed was them looking at a tree that was full of leaves, but they weren't bearing fruit. You can take it two ways. Jesus steps onto the scene, you better have some fruit. Or when Jesus is around you, you bear fruit. Right? Okay, that's one aspect. But the other aspect is, why are you producing something just to be seen but not producing fruit? Because the fruit is what gives you food. It is the leaves that give you healing. We just read it. Okay, this is probably going to get some of y'all mad at me, but I love you. We've seen a lot of people doing all kinds of healing miracle services out there, but there ain't no fruit of the Word of God being given for food. They want to move and act by the spiritual sense to show everybody at a distance, I'm spiritual, I'm full of the Word of God, full of the Spirit of God, but I produce no fruit. I can do healing services, but my lifestyle doesn't reflect what the God says that it should reflect. Are you hearing this? And I've seen it too many times when anointed men and women of God want to do a healing miracle crusade, whatever you want to call it, just to be seen, but ain't nobody eating of the fruit because they're not producing any fruit. We have got to produce fruit. What's it for? What is the fruit for? For food for others. Tell me, let's do this, Sylvia. Stand up right here, Sylvia. Come on, Sylvia. You're the tree. Stand right there, Sylvia. Stand right there. Sylvia is the tree. Full of leaves. And she's got fruit for me to eat. That fruit is the word of God that's inside of her that she has given to me. Encouragement, edification, correction in love, truth of the word, the gospel, the good news. What are the leaves for? For healing. What is that? That covering that covers the fruit is what's going to bring healing to me because I can get under a tree and I can take shelter from what I'm going through. And while I'm taking shelter of what I'm going through, I can eat of the fruit, the word of God. And receive my healing. So that's why when Jesus, it says in the scripture, you read it, he was hungry. And at a distance, he saw the leaves. So what did Jesus, he walked to it. Would Jesus know if it was full of fruit? Yes. He showed the disciples that didn't have an understanding. Oh, look at all the leaves. Let's go. Why did he curse it? Because that is not kingdom mentality. Kingdom mentality says, oh, you want to be seen? You better be bearing fruit or you'll be cursed. That the next day, it was withered from the root up. Not from the leaves down. From the root up. See, when Jesus steps on the scene, he's going to get to the root of things. He's going to get to the root of things. He'll let the wind shake some stuff off, but I'm going to get to the root of things. And I'm going to let everybody know that's passing by, when Jesus speaks, oh, he gets to the root. We're tired of dealing with this fruit stuff. You don't want to bear fruit? Guess what? I'm going to deal with your root now. All you want to do is be seen from a distance. All you want to be seen is that you are a Christian. The reality is, if you're a Christian, you bear fruit that all can see. Amen. All right, Sylvia. Come on, Sylvia. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:27. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. What did the wind do? Did it shake the leaves? Did it shake the branches? Did it shake the house? It shook everything. The wind is there so that it can remove some old stuff. Remove some new stuff as well. But everything that can't be shaken will be shaken. There's a shaking coming. There's a shaking coming. And this ain't no shake and bake. There's a shaking that's coming. Why is a shaking coming to the church? Huh, Josh? Why is it coming to the church first? Because there has to be order. The church needs to get back in position and get back in order. But if we ain't shaking, we just stand at a distance looking like we're fools. We have got to be shaken. You've got to be challenged. You've got to go through a storm. Because in the storm, it reveals the true you. It reveals the real fruit. You're going through a storm right now, your real fruit's going to come out. Your real fruit. What do you want to be seen? A tree that looks like they've got it, or a tree that has its fruit? A tree that has its root is planted by the rivers of living water, not dead and stagnant. Not a stream that shows up one day and gone the next. Hey. Woo. Not a stream that shows up to bring you something that felt good for a minute and gone the next day. See, the waters that came from the sanctuary made the fruit grow every month. That means you should be blessed. It means you should be blessed, producing its fruit every month. And your leaves shall be for healing for a nation. What does that mean? If you're filled with the word of God, then you're filled with the promises of God, and you can release healing to many. But if you're full of fear, and if you're full of doubt, it will begin to mess, not with your faith, it'll mess with your identity. Where it all started is your identity. If you don't know who you are and you're confused, get in the presence of God and repent. You're a son and a daughter of God. That's who you are. Don't do things contrary to His word. Don't do things to upset the one that loves you. You understand? Don't take things just to make you feel good for a minute, but hurt the one that loves you eternally. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the sin kind of preaching, I don't like it either. I don't. Because I'm convicted in it. But that's what Jesus preached. Wait a minute. Did He preach the sin? Or did He bring His love that convicted and caused them to repent because of the love? Sin was never mentioned until after the demonstration of His love. Then He says, oh, by the way, go and sin no more. So was the repentance conditioned to the healing? No, His love was the condition. His love. It was His mercy and His grace that was a setup for Him to reveal who He is. I like Jesus because when He walked around, He had all those Pharisees that always wanted to kind of, you know, I'm going to catch Him doing something wrong. I'm going to catch Him. I'm just going to catch Him saying something wrong. You misquoted it, Jesus. No, He didn't. He didn't. Okay, never mind. You're going to heal on the Sabbath? What? Why? And every time Jesus was getting ready to, He was a show off. He would go, are the Pharisees there? They're there? Let's go. Peter, come on. Hey, Peter! Pay attention, man. Stay focused. Get over here. Now, you ain't even cut nobody's ear off, but I want to show you something. Watch how we're going to slip past them all, and they want to throw me in jail. Watch this. You too. You know, Peter probably looked at him like, I want to go with you, man. Every time I go with you, people want to throw us in jail and want to kill us. I want to go. So He goes right into the synagogue. He goes right into the town where all the Sadducees, the ones that are criticizing Him, the ones that are always looking at Him, you're going to mess up, Jesus. You're going to mess up, and we got you. Can you imagine Peter at a distance like, Just say one thing to my master. Just say one thing. I dare you. Say one thing to him. Come on, think about the nature of Peter. He was always on alert because Jesus was always going against the grain. Jesus was always doing something that everybody else said you shouldn't do. Jesus did it. Come on, don't get sacrilegious on me and say, oh, Pastor, you shouldn't have said that. Because no, he didn't. He was very obedient to what God wanted him to do is what he did. But there were some followers, disciples, that looked at like, this man crazy. Every time we go with him, something about to happen. So I'm thinking like how Peter's thinking is every time something about to go down, man, we come out of it. We come out of this thing. Even though what he just dealt with this individual, and that's me too. That was me. I should be the one repenting right now. He spared me. What else are you going to show me? See, every time he did something, he was revealing that he knew about them. And he was demonstrating his love for those that weren't even part of them. That's the Christ that we serve. And when we're in the storm, who's the one that we get after? We get mad at God. We get mad at God because something happened that was wrong and we don't know how to handle it. And we get mad and we want to turn on him, but he hasn't turned on us. If he speaks to us about our sin and speaks to us about what we're doing that is wrong, we get mad. But the reality is, it's truth. It's the truth that sets you free. But the Bible says that the truth sets you free. And whom the Son sets free is free what? Not just free. What is indeed? Excuse me? For sure? Completely? Finito. Done. It's over. You're free and free. Done. That's it. Now why is it that we put ourselves back in bondage? We put ourselves back in bondage because of guilt, shame, and the condemnation that we hurt our Father. And then we get mad. How many of you have talked to someone that gets angry because you're telling them the truth? You tell them the truth, they get mad. Why? Because you just told them the truth. They just got caught. Right? Jesus doesn't get mad. I'm telling you the truth because I love you. That's why I believe that God is saying, pay attention to what is coming, son. It's coming. This isn't the gloom and doom. Here's what I want to share with you. What is coming is a storm. But on the other side of the storm, you saw it today, is the sunshine, his glory. We're about to experience something greater than we've ever imagined in our life. It has never been written in history. We're about to make history. The bride of Christ is about to make history. For those of you who think, well, Jesus is coming and after that, we're taken up. That's escapism. We're not done. We are not done. Churches are so divided, it's ridiculous. People are divided in the church. It's so ridiculous. We're nowhere near him coming. Is he closer than he's ever been? Yeah. But it's not that he's waiting. We're just not ready. So what does the storm do? I said it before. It brings up the things that needed to be stirred up on the bottom to come to surface, to get rid of it and wash it downstream so that we can have fresh, clean water. What does the storm do? All that lightning that took place made all this water that came from heaven, made it charged and ionized for the grass. Everything's about to be greener. Everything. I believe in this season we're about to see things that the enemy meant for evil. God's going to turn it for your good. Do you understand? The enemy tried to take you out many different ways, but God is going to turn it for your good. He loves you that much. Do you believe it? Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. close your eyes, lift up your hands before the Lord and worship just a little bit. Close your eyes and worship. Close your eyes and worship. God, you're so good. We surrender to you. We surrender unto you. We thank you that you're a God that speaks truth into our circumstance, truth into our spirit and our soul. And it is the truth that sets us free, God. Lord, we thank you for it right now. In every situation right now, Father, that we got to trust you in. We don't understand it, but we got to trust you in it. We thank you right now, God, that you'll get us all the way through it. We trust you. We love you, God. Now fill them up right now, God. Fill them up with the very peace, oh God. We call it forth now. The peace that surpasses all understanding. And the love that permeates their very soul. That their mind, their will, and their emotions, God, be wrapped up in your presence, God. Wrapped up in the Spirit of the living God. To understand that you're doing a great and mighty work in their life. That this too, this storm, shall pass. Where they may feel that they may have missed something. They may have gotten out of line. Get them back into position, God. By the way of their repentance, Lord, that they get back with you. Lord, I may have stumbled, I may have fallen, but I repent of it right now. Forgive me, Lord, of what I have done. I ask you, God, I confess it with my mouth and believe it with my heart, that you are Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. You are my Lord. You are my Shepherd. You Lord over my life. You control. You do everything you desire. Let me be willing and let me submit myself unto you, God. I thank you for it, Lord. Whatever the enemy has meant for evil, Lord, I thank you that you have turned it for my good. Lord, I thank you that my season is coming to an end so that I can embrace a new season that you have in store for me. I thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of those standing right now said, amen. If you believe that prayer and you believe that God is going to do a new thing in this season, I want you, when you walk out of here tonight, to walk out with your head held up high, your shoulders square, and know that God's got your back, that you're not leaving here alone. He's walking with you. He's guiding you. And when you can't walk no more, he's going to lift you up, and he will carry you the rest of the way, because he's got you. Amen. As elders passing out the envelopes and the pens for the offering in May, you can go and stop the recording.